Listen to the sound of men shaving their balls before the age of Manscaped. Yeah! Those screams are a thing of the past thanks to Manscaped. No more cuts and nicks with the Manscaped Lawnmower 3.0, featuring advanced skin-safe technology so you keep your bad boys nice and smooth. The battery will last up to 90 minutes so you can take a longer, more satisfying shave. So many people have written in stories about how the Lawnmower 3.0 has changed their lives. They even included pictures so I could see the smoothness for myself. They aren't kidding. You need to try this out for yourself. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code VSIN at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. 20% off, free shipping to manscaped.com. Use the code VSIN. Your partner and your balls will thank you.
Happy New Year, guys. It's me again here to remind you that support for VSIN comes from Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-belt grooming and maker of precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. A new year's upon us, fellas, so listen up. As the clock strikes midnight, make your resolution to keep things neat and tidy in the year ahead with the Manscaped Perfect Package 2.0. Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't nick or snag, and it's waterproof so you can use it in the shower. Face it, fellas, an unkempt lawn is so last year, and besides, everyone knows the tree stands a little taller when the shrubs are neatly trimmed. Start the new year off right and get 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com just by using promo code VSIN. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com by using promo code VSIN. And in 2020, let's just agree to let Brent stick to cashing tickets instead of talking about trimming thickets.
It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
Welcome back to a numbers game here on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander, who's in the middle of his 2-week vacation. Well earned for Mr. Alexander. Jacob Roach is in my usual chair. Jacob, you're now, I think we can officially promote you to producer 5.66. So it's 5 2/3.
At one point, wasn't I 5.75?
No,
we went down.
You
and up.
Declared yourself 5.75.
Yeah, that's what you kind of just like do that. I mean, Popovich made himself head coach. Look at it now, dynasty.
Worked out for sure. But now with us here, it's Robbie Calland. He works over at UpRocks. Covers basically everything in the sports landscape. So we're gonna cover everything right now with our buddy Robbie Callen. Robbie, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Morning, Jeff. I'm good. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Robbie, let's start with the XFL. What were your thoughts in the opening weekend for its second incarnation?
I thought it was highly entertaining. I mean, the football wasn't always the best, but I mean, that was to be expected. I thought it was actually a little better than I anticipated, particularly offensive line play is the thing that people talk about the most when you know, the AAF was a disaster in that regard. And like when you have a fledgling league, that's usually the hardest thing to kind of recreate is the cohesiveness and the talent on the offensive line. Cause I mean, NFL teams are always struggling to fill offensive line depth. And so when you suddenly are like trying to fill that at a whole nother league, it's often tough. I thought that was better than expected. The broadcast experience I thought was the best thing that they had. You know, I like some of the rule changes. I like the kickoff rule. I think that's a cool thing that I was a little iffy on going in, but seeing it executed, I like that. And, you know, people are like, oh, well, the NFL adopted, you know, we'll see. I don't think the NFL wants to admit that, you know, somebody else had a better idea than them. That's not usually a strength of theirs. But I would like to see that. But the broadcast experience was really a really cool viewing experience. You have, you know, immediate sideline interviews with like a kicker that just missed a field goal. That's pretty awesome. And like, you know, getting to hear play calls, I think the biggest thing the NFL should take is the conversation between the referee and the replay booth that the XFL shows to you live and you get to listen in. Like the NFL needs to do that. Like if you're talking about why these calls get made. And you, like, it's way better than having Mike Pereira guessing. And then when Mike Pereira is wrong and is like, I don't know, like, that's not really great. Like, it'd be way better to have the actual conversation. So we know why. Doesn't mean we're going to agree. It doesn't mean people are going to be in on it, but at least we could hear the actual reasons why, rather than somebody who used to be in the room guessing what the call's going to be made.
Robbie, of course, here at VSIN, we have our XFL betcasts for the early games each day. Again, VSIN.com/XFL for all that information on the ESPN and the Fox broadcast. They're flashing the closing total and the closing spread. Robbie, what are your thoughts on the XFL as a betting vehicle?
Unders for now. I think it was 3-1 mm-hmm. in week one. That's my thought. Again, it's the same thing. It's going to be sloppy football for a little bit. So same way we were cashing AAF unders. I think people expected more scoring with the, the rules are obviously tailored to the offense, but I think one thing we forgot about, you know, the rules that try to prohibit punting and all that, you still have old NFL guys running these teams, and it's going to take them a while to break some habits. All right. We still got a lot of punting midfield. We still have a lot of, you know, just like they can't break these habits in week one. And I think that's what we saw. They still play conservatively. They still go for one all the time, even though that doesn't really make sense math-wise. Like, you should almost always go for two from the five. Like, your likelihood of succeeding is pretty close to what you'll get from the two, as long as you have somebody that can throw the ball decently. I think for me, the thing that I kind of hooked onto was, like, early on, we're just going to kind of blind bet unders, and until the lines kind of stabilize, I think the public's going to like overs, because the public always likes overs.
Of course.
So, I always lean under, and then just like new league, sloppy play, still trying to get everything together. And you have these old NFL coaches running things who still don't like math. And so they do the old school NFL things, which are punt and go for one, even if the analytics might tell you should probably go for two and go for it on fourth and six from the 50 because of the penalties for kicking it out of bounds and stuff like that.
Robbie Calland of UpRock Sports with us right now here on A Numbers Game. Get Robbie on the tweets at @RCalland. Robbie, just looking at this from just the sides perspective, betting-wise, the way that I looked at it in week one, I went with what I thought was the better quarterback. That worked out in most games. Is that just the easiest way to handicap it, do you think, side-wise, until we start knowing more about these teams as a whole?
Yeah, I think you go with quarterback play almost. It's kind of what you do in the NFL anyway. I mean, it's kind of what you do at all levels of football, but definitely at a league like this. I mean, like, if you believe, Cardale Jones and DC defenders, those guys, I mean, you're going to go with the guys that you trust. I think we learned in week one, we can't trust Aaron Murray. They need to be playing Quentin Flowers down there in Tampa. So if they don't make a change, I will have whoever Tampa's playing, because I mean, Murray, how many years is Murray out of Georgia? Like, it's been a while. Like, I know he played in the AAF, but like, whatever that's worth, like, he's been in the booth for a while with CBS. Like, I was kind of surprised they were favored in that game. They're pretty low odds for winning the whole thing. You go with the quarterback, and then, you know, you kind of lean on, and as we go along, we kind of try to figure out, okay, who's got actual, like, solid offensive line play in front of that quarterback? Who's got the speed on defense, you know, these sort of things, and we'll start piecing that together. But yeah, for now, you lean on quarterback play, and you just kind of like fade the guys that you don't trust, maybe as much as anything. And I think right now that for me, that's Tampa.
Right now, Tampa will play at Seattle Saturday afternoon, the later kick. Right now, Seattle is actually a dog at home, 2.5 point dogs at home against Tampa Bay, who, again, I'm with you. Quinton Flowers should be getting the start this week for Tampa. But the one thing that I took away from Tampa's game against New York is we didn't see Canada Mark Trestman, Robbie. We saw Chicago Bear Mark Trestman, and that is a big issue for that team going forward.
Well, you know, I mean, that's kind of what I was saying. Like, these NFL guys are like, they get in, I don't know what it is. Like, they just, they can't break their habits, and they just fall into bad ones. So they're punting, they're, you know, making weird decisions. They're, you know, they don't want to go for it on fourth. They want to go for one. They want to, you know, he wants to kick field goals down like 20. Like, it's like, what are we doing? You know, like the entire point of the XFL was like a 17 point game as a two possession game. And when you're kicking down 17, you're just showing that you don't care. Like, you just proved to me that you don't know the math and you don't care to know it. And yeah, like, I don't know, once a bear, always a bear. I don't know. Yeah, Trestman was a disaster.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe he'll figure it out. But for now, we're just going to fade that entire group. Trestman, Aaron Murray, like, if he doesn't start Quinton Flowers this week, like, we just know. Just fade him all year.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And as you said, and you pointed out correctly, the Tampa Bay Vipers were the Eastern Conference favorites coming into the year. And through 1 week, it looks like the board was wrong on that. DC, now your favorite in the Eastern Conference after their win against Seattle. Robbie Calland with us right now here on A Numbers Game, a senior sports writer over at UpRocks, at R. Calland on the tweets. Robbie, let's move over to the NBA here. Trade deadline, of course, passed now. Did anything that happened at the deadline change your view in a macro sense for what this league is going to look like once we get to the postseason?
Not particularly. You know, I'm not super high on the Iguodala trade as far as like making Miami anything really more than what they are. I think he can help them. You know, I don't know how much you can take away from his, I think he had 2 points and was like a plus 21 against the Warriors, but the Warriors, they're terrible. Like, what do we take away from that? You know, I don't see that moving the needle a ton. I honestly think the Bucks getting Marvin Williams is probably can have just as much impact on them as Iguodala can have on the Heat as far as like on court stuff. I know Miami, you know, Miami is all about culture, and they kind of wanted to get another guy that had experience at that level because they are a young team, and I think that might be his biggest impact. And Jay Crowder is a solid piece to add as well. Like, Miami got better. But I think it was a little overstated how much better they got. And then, you know, I mean, the best teams didn't really make a move. They didn't do anything to shuffle the more than, you know, shuffling the deck. Marcus Morris to the Clippers again, like, can he keep shooting the way he's shooting? Maybe, but I feel like he's kind of been over his head. As I think he's been like the 98th percentile of spot up shooters on the season. Like, I don't know if I believe he's going to do that for the rest of the season, but like, he's still a good addition. I like that move, but again, everything was working on the margins for the best teams. You know, you saw, aside from Houston, obviously making a wholesale change and just kind of going for it with the small ball thing, which I kind of like as far as just like when you watch them play, you didn't go, wow, this is a team that can compete for a championship right now. Like, you just could tell that they weren't at that level. And what I'll say about the small ball thing is there's going to be nights where it's going to be a disaster and they're going to lose by 30 to the Suns like they did in their second game. But I do think it raises their ceiling. I think it raises their ceiling and it lowers their floor, and they had to raise their ceiling to be a competitor. I don't think they're going to do it, but if they can have 4 or 5 super hot shooting games with that lineup against the Lakers, against the Jazz, against the Clippers, that's their only shot for taking a series. And so I think they did raise their ceiling, but they also raised the percentages for them cratering out in the first round.
I 100% agree with you on that, Robbie. They raised the ceiling where they can beat anyone really in the entire league. And now they lowered the floor where if they played Oklahoma City in the first round, it wouldn't stun me if the Thunder KO'd them in 6.
Yeah. Like all of that, like it's, and they're a fascinating team because of it. And I kind of love that move. But everybody else, you know, nobody made the Sixers worked along the fringes. I like Alec Burks, but he doesn't move the needle. You know, the Raptors stayed put, which I think is probably the best thing they could do given their chemistry and given how well they're playing. I mean, what, 15 in a row? Like, they're phenomenal. The Bucks didn't do anything to shake things up, and really they had two options. They stay put, or they go all in with a bigger move and try to move Bledsoe or somebody like that, but they like where they're at. I like the Marvin Williams addition. He gives them another quality shooter and quality kind of switchable defender, even if he's lost the step. And, you know, the Lakers don't get anybody. They don't get Darren Collison again. Like, people are blowing it out of proportion because it's the Lakers. Like, Darren Collison is a nice player, but he hasn't played in a while. It wasn't going to move the needle a ton. The worst part of it is if they were banking on that as why they weren't making moves, that's unfortunate. And now you're kind of looking at them scrambling to find somebody here. Reports they're working out J.R. Smith. They're working out Deion Waiters. They're trying to find guard help. I'm interested to see where it comes from. But I still don't think losing Allen Collison is that big of an issue, but they do need to replace some of Rondo's minutes. Even if he was great last night, they've got to find a way to not have to lean on him as much come playoff time.
Robbie, hold on through the break here. I want to get your a few takes on some of the NBA games tonight. Of course, guys, our show is always brought to you by the BetMGM app. The sports calendar may slow down a bit in February, but the action is year-round at BetMGM.com, New Jersey's favorite place to ramp up excitement on pro and college hoops, hockey, golf, and much more. New BetMGM customers can shake their winter doldrums with a special offer on tonight's Rockets and Celtics matchup by using the code VSIN100. Place a $1 pregame moneyline bet on the Celtics or Rockets to win the game outright, of course, and you'll win a $100 free bet if either team hits a three. That's right. First-time BetMGM bettors get 100-to-1 odds on the Celtics or Rockets hitting a three tonight when they use the code VSIN100. That's VSIN100 at the BetMGM app in New Jersey, BetMGM.com, or download the BetMGM app today. More with Robbie Callen next here on A Numbers Game on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Keep it right here for more of A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
VSiN's Follow the Money, weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern, Sirius XM 204.
Can you believe what the Heat did to the Sixers last night? At home, where they are an absolute freight train.
Yeah, Simmons called them soft afterwards. Yeah. I'd have to agree. Pathetic.
You can still find a pretty decent number on this team to win the East. They're probably like a year or two away from really being a true contender out of the East, but I would not want to play that team right away in the playoffs this year. I know that.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Channel 204.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, I'm Jeff Parles. Jacob Roach here as well. Jacob in for me in my usual chair. I'm in for Gil in his usual chair. Robbie Callen of UpRock Sports with us right now on the phone. Robbie, let's dive into tonight's slate in the NBA. There's actually a few very intriguing games, and we'll start. We'll leave the Wizards and the Bulls out of this. We don't have to bother with that great one in D.C. tonight. But we'll start in Philadelphia. Clippers at the Sixers. Sixers, a one-point home dog right now, Robbie. Total 224.5.
Yeah, the matchup between teams that can't be bothered to care most nights. I'm fascinated by this game. I'll be honest, I don't know if I want to put any of my money on it because for that reason, like, if both of these teams come out and are trying in full strength, I would lean Clippers the way everything's shaken out. But, man, it's hard for me to put a lot of faith in either of these teams. If anything, I might lean under. Let's go with that. Let's lean under. I mean, both these teams, when they are engaged, are very good defensive teams. So I'll lean under. All the length, all the wingspan, both of these teams are just going to be throwing at each other. I'll lean to the under here and think if they're going to play a competitive, engaged game on both sides. I think it's in the, you know, in the hundreds, between 100, 110 for both sides.
Robbie leaning under 224.5. There is some 225 out there now as well. Mm-hmm. But imagine that number is probably just going to keep climbing through the day. As we know, public loves to bet these games over, especially these high-profile games in the NBA.
Yes.
Next one up, Robbie. Highest total on the board tonight. New Orleans hosting Damian Lillard and the Portland Lillards at this point. The Pelicans are laying 240 the total on this one. And Robbie, I know we're starting to see more 240s out there as we go along this year. Just with the way both of these teams play, I'm still not certain that 240 is enough on that total.
Yeah, it's been wild to see the totals this season as the bookmakers kind of adjust to what the NBA is now and what it's been this season. I mean, there have been some wild ones, Wizards games, Blazers games, Pelicans games especially. So when you get Rockets games, so when you get any of those combinations together, I feel like we've seen way more 240s even creep towards 250. Total is not where I like this game for the reason that you said. I can't in good conscience take a over in the 240s, but I'm with you. I think that honestly might be the right side. I like the Blazers. Both these teams coming into the game, both playing very well, but the Blazers seem to have kind of figured something out post-Ariza trade that seems to have stabilized that wing rotation. I wasn't sure how that would work because obviously Ariza, when he's been in Phoenix, when he's been in Sacramento, even in Washington, kind of aimless, just doing his thing. But he's the type of guy where you put him in a structure on a good team, helps you win games. And I think that's what we're seeing. I think they're 7-3 in their last 10. I like them getting 3 points here on the road, even against the New Orleans team that, again, has also kind of started to show signs of life. I'll take the Blazers +3. Wouldn't hate a little money line sprinkle.
A little money line sprinkle at +135 on Portland. I'm with you there as well, Robbie. I think I like that sprinkle on the money line at that +135. Next one up on the list, San Antonio. Oh, what a loss they had last night in Denver, up 20 plus.
That was
the third.
Rock bottom.
Yeah, that was as bad as it gets for the Spurs. Again, we know Denver's really good, but can't lose that game up by 20 plus late in the third quarter. Nuggets come all the way back, win outright, and actually cover 6.5 that they closed that last night. Spurs travel to OKC tonight. Thunder -8, total 219.5, Robbie.
DeRozan missed last night with back spasms. I don't know if I've seen anything on his status for tonight. That obviously is a big key for San Antonio. I mean, just depth wise, OKC's been great, but man, eight seems like a lot of points for an OKC team. I feel like they play a lot of close games. I don't know. Eight seems like a lot. I'm going to lean San Antonio, knowing full well that this could be a disaster.
I think that's the same spot. I'm in the same spot as you on this game. I'm going to probably steer clear, but 8 points a lot for OKC. Even with how good, of course, OKC, the first team to clinch they clinched their over their win total already with 32
wins. I know. They were a team that, this was always the possibility with OKC. I mean, you looked at the roster before the season and go, man, there's a lot of talent on this. You just didn't expect it to still be here after the deadline. Like, we expected them to sell, but if the offers weren't coming in, Gallinari, apparently the issue with Miami was an extension discussion that they couldn't get at together because Miami doesn't want to ruin their chance at Giannis in 2021 or Oladipo or whoever. And like Chris Paul, just like right now, he's hard to move and he's playing so well that you just say, okay, keep him. You know, it's not like they need their own pick to be great. They've got a million picks coming up, so they can be patient and enjoy a good season. This was always the possibility with this team. I mean, they were loaded with talent. And then you add in Dennis Schroeder taking a random step into being one of the most efficient guards in the NBA, which no one saw coming. And this is what you have. I mean, they're really fun and a team that I hope folks are watching because they're not in the championship tier, but they're a lot of fun. And whoever draws them in the first round out there in the West isn't going to have a good time with them.
Oh, no. If it's a Clippers-Thunder, you know the Clippers are going to really going to actually have to play a whole set, play for a few of those games, unlike, like you said before. We don't know what they're doing on a night-to-night basis effort-wise. But OKC, look, Billy Donovan, to me, deserves Coach of the Year recognition. He probably won't get there because of what Nick Nurse has done in Toronto, but heck of a job all the way through. And, of course, OKC, the first team to clinch over their win total. Robbie Callen's with us right now here on A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Jeff Parles in for Gil Alexander. Last game on the NBA docket tonight, Robbie. Boston at Houston, 232, your total. Very high, obviously, for a Celtics game. Minus two, the Rockets laying at home.
I just went through all the reasons why I really enjoy the Houston small ball experience. Celtics in the under. I think this is going to be a tough shooting spot for Houston. Boston, not that, you know, I actually think the small ball thing works best against teams that have a strong interior presence just because they don't really know what to do with it. I think we saw the Lakers struggle a lot with that. Utah last night kind of, or a couple nights ago before Bogdanovic hit the wild game-winning buzzer beater, kind of struggle with, you know, where do we put Gobert? How do we do this? Like, the Celtics aren't going to have that problem. They're going to, you know, they'll have Tice out there. They'll do their thing, but they can just throw wing after wing after wing out there and kind of match some of that speed. And I think by doing that, Stevens will have a better game plan together than I think we've seen yet for this team. And if they're kind of switching, if they're able to keep up with some of that speed on perimeter and just contest those looks, I think we see a tough shooting night for the Rockets. So I like a little coordinated action, Boston and the under.
A correlation there, Boston and under tonight for Robbie Callen there. And the two best games of the night are the East-West showdowns and Boston and Houston to nightcap, 9:35 Eastern, 8:35 local time there in H-Town. Robbie, before we let you go, Phillip Rivers and the Chargers parting ways. Where do you think Rivers ends up for next year's 2020 season?
That's a really good question. I could see, maybe Jacksonville gets weird and brings him in. That seems like a Jaguars move, although we don't know what their new front office is going to be thinking. If it was still Coughlin there, I would like bank money on the Jaguars. but since he's gone, maybe not. I think it'll be a team like that, you know, somebody that thinks that they're a quarterback away from being competitive. You know, Jaguars have the defense. They're going to say, well, maybe it's not Minshew's time. You know, maybe we're just kind of like out on Foles and want to punt on that. Somebody like that. I honestly don't have a, you know, the worst teams kind of are set up right now. So it's got to be somebody in the middle there that feels like they're a quarterback away. And so maybe a Jags or somebody like that, unless Miami wants to groom their quarter, you know, if they take Tua and they want a year for him to grow, something like that. But I would expect him to be somewhere and find a place he can start. He's not going to go somewhere where he's going to have to compete.
Right now at DraftKings, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the even money favorites to get Phillip Rivers.
Okay.
You went way down the board. Jacksonville at 80-1. So that would be a nice little pop if you got that right.
Hey, I don't know. Like, you know, I haven't given that one a whole lot of thought. I'll admit, I don't want the people to be blindly following my advice.
Hey, I will say an 80-1 pop, though, Robbie, and your reasoning makes sense. When I was going through it yesterday when it was released, the first three teams that came to my mind were Tampa Bay because of Bruce Arians, Indianapolis because we still don't know what they think fully of Brissett, and you could argue they're a quarterback away. And then I thought Jacksonville third because of the bad year that Foles had, and I'm not convinced that they like Minshew as a full-time starter. So look, at 80-1, a little bit of lunch money. That's not a terrible idea, Robbie.
I'm just, you know, it could happen. I don't know, like the Bucks, I get, but yeah, Why not the Jags? Why not?
Well, that's as good of a reason. Again, Philip Rivers' whole career has basically been why not anyway. So, of course.
Also, the Jaguars are the closest to like the same ethos as the Chargers.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Like, just kind of similar, just consistent failure. So, like, I think he just needs a home that he'd be comfortable in, and Jacksonville would make sense.
Great stuff with Robbie Calland. Get him on the tweets at rcalland. Find his great work at UpRocks. He's a senior writer over there. And, Robbie, thank you so much for being with us this morning. We'll talk again soon. It was a lot of fun.
Appreciate it, Joe. Have a good one.
Of course, Robbie. I like that, Jacob. 80-1 shot. 80-1 shot is with a little bit of lunch money on Jacksonville. Again, not a full play from Robbie, of course, but hey, for a little bit of lunch money, 80-1, not inconceivable.
That all lines up.
Not inconceivable.
It's a Florida team. They need a quarterback. Like, that's not insane. That might be a good pick.
Yeah, not inconceivable. Again, I would be floored if he doesn't end up in Tampa at this point. But hey, look. We know the he's right. If Kafu was there, I would like that 80-1 bet even more. But coming up next, though, Craig Elo, former NBA starting guard, now does the analysis for Washington State men's basketball. He'll be with us next here on A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Keep it right here for more of A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
VSiN's Follow the Money, weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern, Sirius XM 204.
So I've been summoned for jury duty again.
Oh, can't get out of it?
I asked Al. He goes, you can't get out of this one. It says federal jury duty.
Oh, how can they keep finding you?
No joke. I've been summoned for jury duty 6 times in the last 3 years. Minimum. Yet my wife never gets it in the mail, ever.
Yeah, I haven't either.
You don't either?
No.
Tough
beat.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Channel 204.
Attention all homeowners in jeopardy of foreclosure. If you owe more on your home than it's actually worth, have missed one or more mortgage payments, have been denied a loan modification, or are facing foreclosure for any reason, you must listen to this message. A toll-free mortgage relief hotline's been established for anyone having their home lost in foreclosure. Just call 888-497-1876. And see if your home qualifies. We can help stop your home from going into foreclosure or even get your home out of foreclosure. Hundreds of thousands of Americans have faced foreclosure in the past year alone. This foreclosure defense group has helped thousands of people just like you fight the foreclosure process so they can stay in their homes. But you must call 888-497-1876 now to qualify. The call and information are absolutely free and the help is real. Don't lose your home. Call the Mortgage Relief Hotline now at 888-497-1876. That's 888-497-1876. 888-497-1876.